I can go slow ahead. Come on down and chum some of this shit.
Welcome to the Chum Podcast, where sometimes you're friends and sometimes you're fish food.
Well, you might make it sound like I have, like, booking info.
Light season cap with Scorpio, shoot on sight.
Because if there's anybody who could ever cut a woman down to the white meat, it'd be Hannah Bandit.
Everybody knows, like, nobody can cut you down like the woman you love.
That's what Iyanla is for, to do penance. It's not to, like, become a better person. It's to, like, be publicly flogged.
I was going to get my weave bundle done.
I mean, sometimes just get a nut in a good spot.
Hello, and welcome to the Chum Podcast, where sometimes you're friends and sometimes you're fish food. My name is Shamira, and I'm different from all these other females.
And I'm Tristan, and MLK isn't my daddy.
Unfortunately, our dear friend Aggie isn't with us this week, primarily because she's a figment of our collectively masochistic imaginations, but also because other commitments have tied her up for the time being, kind of like tamping down the collective good nature brought about from warm weather finally returning to New York City.
Funny, like, how are you taking sick days on, like, the second day?
I mean, this is pretty standard, you know. She's a full-time employee that pretty much works part-time hours, but still gets full-time checks. So I don't know how we expect anything different from her.
Of course.
She's just here so she won't get fined, and we just have to kind of go with that. Either way, let's get started with this segment we call Big Fish, which is where we'll discuss the major topics that have come up over the past week, or the past 2-3 weeks, depending on how far behind we are, because we do function on colored people time. First thing that we'd be remiss not to mention, of course, is the recent situation in Baltimore. I'm sure if you have any sort of TV, social media, a friend, a black mom, you've heard about the recent, what they're calling riots in Baltimore, what I personally like to view as protests, but apparently it's up to journalistic interpretation here. So in case you have, you know, no background as to what happened, not too long ago, there was a woman, Rekia Boyd, who was arrested. Oh no, I'm actually speaking of the wrong scenario. There was actually Freddie Gray, I believe, was arrested. While he was arrested and detained, he was manhandled by 6 cops while he was already handcuffed and treated so badly that it actually severed his spine, and he unfortunately passed. Now, of course, over the past year or so, I mean, for way longer than the past year, but I feel like the past year or 2 years have kind of inflamed the discussions that we've had. Over the past year or so, you know, there have been a lot of high-profile incidents of black men and women being victimized by local police forces and unfortunately not seeking the justice that they deserve or not receiving the justice that we feel they deserve by their local communities, and therefore causing sort of unrest within the legal system, within the local neighborhoods, so on and so forth. And so, you know, this has kind of come to a head in Baltimore, and the situation in Baltimore has kind of formed itself as a sort of litmus test, because what's unique in the situation versus the other cities or small municipalities where this has happened is that Baltimore is actually not just a very quote-unquote black city, but a city that actually has black people in its leadership, as opposed to other cities such as, you know, Sanford or Ferguson. Doesn't seem to have helped that much, because apparently people haven't learned the collective lesson that black people existing doesn't override white supremacy. So we've kind of just brought ourselves to this head where there's a lot of tension, a lot of people are protesting, and people have been protesting over the past week or 2 weeks. And for whatever reason, whenever I turn on my TV or turn on social media, the only thing that people could talk about is the small acts of violence that have been relatively minor in comparison to, you know, the greater work to highlight what's actually going on in this community. So Tristan, what have you been seeing, and what is your experience just kind of looking at everything play out?
Well, for one, it's like, so it's like I was, like, my eyes were kind of just glued on CNN yesterday, seeing everything. Mm-hmm. And then, at that point, everything was live and new. And then, at this point, it's just kind of like disasturbation. Like, they're just replaying the same thing over and over, trying to get a reaction out of people.
Right. You know, it's just really, really amazing to see everything that the arguments I've really seen, like, consistently. First of all, not to really make light of the situation, but I don't know if you've seen this, but I've consistently seen this, like, claim that the Bloods and Crips are banding together to, like, go against the police and shoot down these precincts. Have you seen this at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, apparently they sent out, like, a press release.
And
this is Kendrick's dream right here.
Pretty much. And it just really amazes me because I'm just, one, I don't, are the Bloods and Crips really, like, culturally relevant in 2015? I just felt like at this point they've been reduced to, like, names that, you know, rappers shout out in songs, as opposed to, like, actual organized groups that have any real weight.
Does anyone even rep Crip anymore? Like, I feel like Blood's kind of the thing to rep.
I think, like, only, that, like, you know, Snoop Dogg. And, like, who wants to be in the same gang as, like, the collective, like, old uncle of rap history at this point? Like, so I don't really know. I just found it hysterical because just, like, the notion that, like, white people are just, like, creating this whole, you know, concept of gang violence and what it really means. It's just, like, absolutely absurd. It's like, this isn't The Wire. Like, The Wire isn't real life, right? Like, yes, it was based in real circumstances, but, you know, it goes beyond that. And so I just don't really know what to say. I just find the way that all these white people, and, like, you know, I'm used to seeing white people make leaps and bounds, you know.
And then it's like the celebrity of the week that's saying, oh, you're destroying your own community. And it's like, it's not your community if you're getting killed in it.
Right. That's what they, also, people are acting like they're destroying communities that are giving back to the community. Like, I'm not condoning a CVS being destroyed, right? But, like, in what world is, you know, I grew up in the hood. I grew up in the projects. I don't remember CVS being the linchpin of, like, the urban environment, right? Like, I think people don't really seem to grasp, like, what, you know, the urban environment actually really is and, you know, what that really means.
And then what's also lost in the fact is that with the whole Walter Scott video a few weeks ago, like, we saw the video, the man was arrested, there was no problem. Like, right. That's all you want is justice. Like, it's been like 2 weeks and nobody knows what happens to him.
Right.
And, like,
right,
I have a working theory that it was probably like a nickel ride. And for people who don't know what nickel rides are, I believe they originated in Philly. And it's when you take a suspect unrestrained and you put him in the back of the paddy wagon, and then it's just kinda like you put a sneaker in the dryer and they So it's like, okay, they didn't shoot him, but that's just as bad.
Right. Ugh, that's just horrible, you know. And, like, part of me, you know, wishes we had more and more tapes of all these incidents. But part of me, like, I have to say, like, watching these things on loop, like, on TV or even on social media, because I don't watch as much live news anymore, I just feel like it's like this weird kind of glorification of black suffering, right? It's like, this is what's going to get all the hits. We can just watch all these black people struggling or watch all these black people being violent and, like, find different ways to call them thugs and find different ways to just, like, you know, villainize them or even just, like, glorify how they're struggling and how they're suffering and just kind of stand back and watch it all happen, you know, and not actually do anything proactive to find any constructive way to handle it. And then I think paint these black people into a corner who are coming up to speak up about it, right? I feel like now there's this, like, this unofficial edict that you can't speak as a black person of any kind of celebrity on the situation without first admitting that, like, the black people who are doing violent things are bad, you know? Like, that's, like, a prerequisite.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of assumed. And then...
Right.
Yeah. And then, like, like I said, and then as much as they're saying Freddie Gray, like, again, the whole issue has started as no one knows what happened to this young man at all.
Right. And it's just, it's unbelievable because it's like, oh my God, we're so scared as a town that we have to put a curfew. We have to be, like, terrified and scared and, God forbid, these black people running up and on the streets and terrifying the neighborhood. Now, you know, New York City is a big sports town, but, you know, not as big a sports town as, like, all these big college towns or, you know, Tristan, you're from Boston, you know, like, after any big game, especially, like, these championships, white people are running in the fucking street setting shit on fire. Like, that's, like, a mainstay, right? I've never in the history of anything heard of, like, a curfew, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Tristan, like, heard of a curfew being put on Boston or a curfew being put on New York simply because white people got way too hype, way too quick.
Or that, or just the idea that, again, it's like, when it is, like, college students, they're kids, but these were, like, high schoolers. Like, they went to have a demonstration at the mall, the police were there, they reacted. And that now suddenly they're thugs and gang members and Black Chlorella family and Bloods and Crips. And it's like, no, these are actually kids.
Right. And, you know, it's just so easy to, you know, villainize what's going on here. And people don't realize how easy it is as just a regular civilian, as a Black person, just get, like, hemmed up in these situations, like, no matter what it is. You know, I was somebody who in New York, when a lot of things were going on in New York here, like when people were, you know, when the Michael Brown non-verdict happened, you know, when we kept chanting, I can't breathe, I went out to several of the protests. And, you know, for my safety, I did choose to walk away from those situations when I felt like it was getting too violent because, well, for one, I'm not a citizen, and so me getting arrested is kind of a little bit higher of an implication than an American citizen getting arrested. So that's something I kind of always have to be cognizant of because my papers aren't really all that straight yet. But beyond that, you know, just you have to look out for yourself as a Black person in the States. I've actually been arrested before when I was younger in 2009, I want to say. I can't even remember the year at this point. Yeah, I was arrested in 2009.
Oh, boy.
Not because I was doing anything goonish, I promise. It was actually something really, really straightforward. I was visiting. I lived in D.C. at the time. I was visiting for the weekend on my brother's birthday weekend. He was turning, like, 13 or 14, so it was in January. And I was staying at my mom's place, and I was going for a run in Harlem. And I wanted to go onto, like, the park path on the driveway. And to get there on the East River, you kind of have to cut across the FDR, which is the, what is that? It's like basically an expressway down going down the east side, right? And so I decide to try to cross it. And for whatever reason, it's like a Saturday at 11 a.m. For whatever reason, there happens to be a cop car driving by idling. And they decide that I'm being dangerous, right? So I wasn't, like, I was just focused on my run. I just started. And I actually hadn't seen, you know, well, no, let me correct myself. I'd seen the cops flashing, right? But I assumed they were flashing at a car. Because why would I think they were flashing at, like, a pedestrian clearly going to work out, right? No, it was me. And so they pulled me over. They asked me, what am I doing on the highway? And I'm like, I'm crossing to get to the other side of the path. It's not a big deal. I do this all the time. Apparently, it was a big deal, right? And in New York City, the rule is, I don't know if this is similar in Boston, you're supposed to have your ID on you at all times. If you don't have your ID on you, they technically have the right to detain you for further questioning at the station until somebody can prove you are who you are. Because apparently, we're just the Gestapo now, right? So they ask me who I am, don't have my ID. I tell them, hey, I don't have it. Have it at my mom's place. 3 blocks away. Apparently, it's not possible to go 3 blocks away to pick up my ID. So, to make a very long story, very short, I got put in the back of a cop car, was given a desk appearance ticket, all because I didn't have my ID on me. Of course, me being the upstanding non-citizen that I am, I was, like, freaking out and crying and got yelled at by a lieutenant, and it was just, like, a big old mess, all because I wanted to get a workout in, right? And, you know, I have to, like, look back and say I was probably pretty fortunate that, like, nothing truly violent happened against me. But just the fact of being detained and not understanding why I was detained was just really, really, really jarring. So I can't imagine for, like, people in 2015 who are getting arrested for any situation, how you can't be terrified and express that grief in, like, so many different ways, whether it be violence, which I don't condone, but I don't not understand, right? Or protesting or frustration or ranting, right? And I feel like people don't like to accept that these are valid ways to react to things when all you've been doing is just screaming for people to pay attention to you, and all that's been happening is that you're being beaten down mentally, emotionally, and, like, sometimes physically, you know?
Yeah, and, well, I guess, like, going back to, like, DuckTales or whatever, like, the last time, I want to say this was 06. Well, all right, backtrack. So, like, my boy had came and got me. He was like, oh, it's like some dude was like, put hands on his sister. We went to go see him, mm-hmm. see about him. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're walking up there. We run to him. He just got off work. We're like, all right. Like, oh, we're about to go check this dude. Let's go. Like, you know, let's go ride out. Mm-hmm. So, we get there. Like, we meet her at the end of the street. We go bang on the door. We're like, boom, 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 boom. Nobody answers. We're banging. Nobody's answering. We come out the hallway. The police are right there. We get arrested, and we're thinking, oh, whatever. It's probably just like some trespassing charge or whatever. What they did think, oh, it would be a good idea. They actually charged us with intimidation of a witness, which I'm not sure how it is in New York.
What?
That's actually a felony.
Oh, my God.
So instead of it's like a slap on the wrist and like $50 bail, it was like $5,000 bail.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I remember this like adjusting because it was Veterans Day weekend. So it was like we had to sit there for 3 days.
And you got booked. Oh, my God. You did like a weekend in the clink?
No, but it was like, I was like 17, so I just sat in the holding cell when I didn't go to like big boy jail.
But still, I mean, jail for 3 days? I would be in the corner, like in the fetal position. Yeah. You wouldn't see me. I don't know. I'd be like, I don't know what I would do. I'd be so, maybe I watch too much SVU. Like, it's just, how did you get through that?
I don't know. Like, I just kind of like, it was like, okay, obviously it was like upsetting because it was clearly bullshit. But I just kind of slept it off. Then, like, I went to court that day. And they went, like, the lawyer was like, he's an honorable student, blah, say, blah, they knocked my bill down to, like, 200. Then, like, only, like, one of my boys who had a record, they, like, knocked his bill down to, like, 2,000. So he had to just stay there.
Oh, and, like, God.
It took, like, 3 months to just go into court. Like, and again, it's intimidation of a witness. But even the witness had no idea we was arrested, so they just didn't show up to court. So we had the same song and dance for, like, 3 or 4 days, and then eventually they finally threw it out and he got out, but it was like 4 months after the fact.
Oh my God. It is so insane that for a system that keeps claiming it's innocent until proven guilty, it's not difficult at all to be detained for like 3 to 4 months with relatively no cause, right? And no apology. It's not like you get a note to go back to work, right? To say like, no big deal. The federal government or, you know, the NYPD or BPD, like, decided to fuck with me. And because I'm a black person in America with limited resources, I had no other choice but to take it, right? Like, it's just, it's so unreal. Like, was your friend around the same age as you?
Yeah, he was 18. I was 17 or 16.
Okay. So close enough, but still just...
Yeah, but it was like... Yeah, it was like, I could have been, like, 17 with a felony.
Right,
but literally going to, we even got to assault the dude. Like, all we did was, like, bang on the door.
Right. And there's no, like, restitution. There's no, like, sorry we did this. It's kind of like a...
Yeah, like, you don't get those 3 months back.
Right. You don't even get, like, an apology note. It's really just, like, a, all right, bye, nigga. Like a pat on the back.
You know, like, it's like, yeah, you like got like the bail back, but that was just
right. It's just sad and jarring, and I'll never not be worried about it because I have a younger brother who is 18 years old. I can't believe he's 18 now, and he's a big kid. You know, he's like 6'5", 220 pounds, pretty big kid. And, you know, he lives in Harlem and my family doesn't live in this neighborhood and he's out, you know, he's a teenager. So I can't tell him not to be out till, you know, the wee hours because no one can tell teenage boys anything really.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wants to be on these streets and he wants to do dumb stuff. And normally, you know, I would be like giving him advice to not do dumb things, but still, you know, understand when he does it. But now it's like I'm terrified when he does dumb things, you know, because he does have friends who've been arrested. And, you know, in this day and age where he can pass for someone who's like 5 years older than him, right? Who knows what's going to happen? He walks down the wrong way and some cop from Staten Island who hates having to do the beat with these niggers every day just decides that he's the one who he's going to fuck with, you know? And what are we going to do, right? Like, it's just... It's a sad state of consciousness, and it really makes it hard for me when I see all these people sitting and empathizing for these cops and not giving nearly as much empathy to, like, black people in majority urban environments, but I don't want to just speak for urban environments here, who are really just, like, at threat of, like, being killed every day. Like, Black people being in a constant state of fear, right? And the only thing they could tell us is violence isn't the answer, right? As opposed to violence being the answer for, like, handling the Black community. And then quoting MLK as if they know, like, next to anything about MLK. It's probably, like, my biggest pet peeve right now, right?
Like, it's like every Dog Abby or Black Abby are coming talking about, well, what would MLK do? And it's like he just became, like, the mascot for respectability, nigga.
Right. And also, like, I feel like the thing that bothers me the most is that people trotting out MLK just prove how uneducated they are, for me, right? From what I understand. Because I've read some of MLK's works, I've read some of his, you know, preachings and some of his essays, right? And people keep thinking that MLK believed in peace, and that's not what MLK ever believed.
Yeah, it was, right? Peace against people. Like, he didn't give a fuck about that CBS either.
It was more so like, and this is something that, you know, sports commentator Bomani Jones likes to phrase it as, right? It was more so using nonviolence as an act of shame, right? Because you're standing
like,
there.
Yeah, like, you're like, look how these people are acting, and we're just going to be better than them.
Right. You're standing there, and they're literally holding you down, and you're just standing there. And forging that collective shame when, like, the TV industry just started becoming, like, a household thing, where people could stand there, turn on the TV, and just see Black people being beaten down for just walking, right? So that was a completely different, that's a different sort of nuance than just saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't ever strike your hand against anyone. Like, there's an action in nonviolence,
and,
right?
Like, and it's like, there's not even that level of shame anymore. Like, there's, like, videos of, like, cops throwing rocks at kids. And
it doesn't even matter, right? It's like we're almost desensitized because of, like, what you said, the disasturbation of Black victimhood, that it's not even, like, it doesn't provide the same resonance, right? But, you know, there's different ways to do everything. I'm not, like we've said before, I'm not, like, going, yeah, fuck the city up, right? But, like, am I going to act like I don't understand what it's like to be so mad to put your hands on something? No, you know, we've all been there. It's not always, like, the best solution. But what do you do when you've literally been silenced for years and for decades? And the problems that occurred in the 60s are occurring in 2015, right? Like, what do you do when you write these essays and people ignore you? When you point out what's happening? When you provide video evidence and still there's no indictments, no anything? It's just kind of, you're stuck, right? And then all anybody could tell you is MLK preached nonviolence, which is not what MLK preached. MLK preached shame, right? And the way that you shame white people into behaving is showing them, you know, how many times, like, you have to stand there and take it. But we've done it. We've done it for the past several years. We've got the video evidence, and here we are, right? Instead, we're just kind of sitting here watching Black people suffer and rooting for that, right? A little chump and chum, eh? But, you know, just to pivot off of one sort of suffering of Black people, insert worst segue ever here. I was trying to twist it, but I couldn't get there. The next big fish that I wanted to really get to is more, I mean, it still involves, I guess, Black people being pummeled in a way. But really, you know, this Saturday is one of the biggest sporting events of the year. For those of you who are not athletically inclined or athletically interested, shout out to Aggie in absentia. This Saturday is the big and oft-delayed Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, right? It's going to be the big day. People flew out to Vegas. You know, people book the hotels. It's going down. Saturday night. Mayweather-Pacquiao, Las Vegas. So first thing I wanted to ask, are you a boxing fan?
Well, I guess, well, not really. Like, I'm kind of, like, as much of a boxing fan as anybody else. Like, it's only two fights
every
4 years anybody pays attention to.
Right. And it's really funny to me because people keep talking about how boxing is, like, a really dying industry. And no one, you know, it's hard to find a way to really bring the industry to, like the American global consciousness, like the Tyson or Ali and Frazier days. But Mayweather is the highest paid athlete in America, right? If not the world, right? He's making, like, a cool $100 million off this fight, I believe, and that's before he gets the cash out from the subscriptions. So, for Dye Industry, these folks are cashing the hell out, man. But, you know...
And then, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then... But the thing is like, the reason it is kind of dying because it's only just him. Like, there's no up and coming, there's no heavyweights. It's just this one deplorable human being carrying on the entire sport.
Right. And that's where I was going to get to, right? So Floyd has kind of made this whole brand out of being like a heel, right? And just, he's undefeated, but he's a terrible person. He's not even really an exciting boxer except for like quote unquote fans of boxing, which, as an aside, I really, really hate that term. It's like people who like the Spurs, and they tell you they like the Spurs because they play basketball the right way. And it's like, I'm sorry. I get that, like, you should do 5 passes before you shoot. It's not fun to watch in playoff season, right? So, like, yes, I get that Floyd is an offensive, like, juggernaut, but him not landing punches and just ducking punches for 12 rounds is not interesting, especially since he's clearly able to land punches on all his girlfriends, right? So it's just like, that's a personal aside. I have a really big pet peeve against people who decide to defend what they like by saying it's some sort of like uniquely amazing skill set that we need to be able to appreciate, you know? But regardless, Floyd is this big heel. He's huge, obnoxious asshole. He calls himself Money Mayweather. His team is the Money Team, you know. And we're not even getting to, like, the most egregious parts of himself, right? Just, like, the fact that he goes around flaunting his behavior of just general ass-hattery, if that's a word, and just continuing to go along that vein kind of has people in, like, a weird position where I think that normally a fight like this is pretty evenly divided along racial lines, right? But what seems to have come out of this situation now is that we have a lot of Black people not really rooting for Floyd, myself included, right? So what are your thoughts? Are you rooting for him? Are you interested in him? Like, what are your feelings on Floyd Mayweather?
Oh, yeah, like, I really can't stand the dude. So, like, it's like, I'm kind of, like, hoping, like, knocks him out, like, Craig and Devo with the brick. Like,
right. It's like, you know, everyone doesn't really believe it could happen, considering the last time that most of us saw Pacquiao, he took a hot one in the face and, like, needed smelling salts to come back up. But, like, I feel like everyone's low-key Filipino this weekend, right? And for the most part, the people who aren't, like, fake Filipino this weekend are, like, I feel like they're just doing...
They're, like, it's like the ashy Holteps that wear, like, ball shorts as underwear.
It's like they're doing this, like, these leaps and bounds to really justify, like, why they like Floyd or why they're rooting for Floyd. They're like, well, you can enjoy him as, like, a boxer, understanding he's a terrible man, right? Which, you know, really has me in an interesting place, right? Because this isn't the first time that we've had these kinds of discussions, right? There's so many people, mostly public figures and entertainers, that may have, like, a really valuable skill set that, for whatever reason, is undermined by their, like, tragic personal life or public life, right? And so Floyd is just, like, the most recent one because of, like, his big personal life. But just thinking of athletics, right? Last season, it was Ray Rice. And then there was Adrian Peterson, right? To some extent, Jameis Winston, right? And getting out of sports, you've got Terry Richardson, which, if you guys don't know, he's that white guy photographer with a really pervy mustache who is really famous for just, like, photographing women in soft lens on white backgrounds. Don't really understand what's so special about that, but people really freaking love it. You've got R. Kelly, of course, and, I mean, the list really goes on and on. Chris Brown, right? Well, I really said, you know, people whose talent is, like, exceptional here, but, I mean, I guess we could lift Chris Brown into the discussion. But, you know, just all these people who are kind of in the discussion. So we kind of always recircle this argument of, like, you know, the artist versus the man or the woman, right? Because it's not just, I don't want to just say man, right? Because, I mean, notably, I guess, what's the girl, the basketball player, what's her name? You know who I'm talking about. Right, Brittany Griner, her fiance. I mean,
it's Hope Solo.
Like, right, Hope Solo. You know, folks are out here doing a lot, right? And then because they're high profile, it gets covered, and then people either just, like, skate over it or decide to make an issue out of it, right? So I guess my first question for you, since I've just been rambling for long enough, is do you think there's any credit to... Okay, let's start here. Are there any people that you know have questionable personal lives that you appreciate so much you kind of gloss over it anyway? Mm-hmm. And do you think there's any credit really to just being like, yes, there's, we should be able to mentally divest ourselves and be like, all right, we can enjoy this person for what they provide, but also acknowledge they're like a terrible person, right?
Well, like, probably would come to mind, cause I remember like when the whole Vic thing happened, because like I used to be like a huge Michael Vick fan. Mm-hmm. And I was like 16, so like I wrote out like, mm-hmm. It was like, I ain't care about no damn dog. He ain't do it.
Right, right. I definitely was like, yo, RICO charges? Just some dogs, yo.
It was like, where? It was like 2 years?
And they'll never let it go. Like, never. Yo, Mike Vick could be taking a picture walking down the street, and it'll be like, oh, well, you know, his dogs can't walk down the street anymore because he beat them. And it's like, all right, guys, we got
it. And the weird thing is, like, even though I kind of compartmentalized that, he actually turned out to be, like, a decent human for
right. Right, right.
While someone, like, is like, okay, it's not even like, it's like Floyd's still doing this. Like, it was, like, 2 months ago, not too long ago that he did, like, the whole thing. When he like posted like the abortion on Instagram, like,
oh my he's God.
Like, he's still terrible.
Right, right. Documented history of being terrible. And you know, there's something to be said, and I try to think about this before we start talking about it and acknowledge my own biases, and to say, you know, I do have some biases, right? For example, you brought up like Michael Vick, right? And I definitely, you know, have accepted that he did it and whatever, the law's the law, he deserved to do the time, he had a dog fighting ring, it's inhumane, and white people love their dogs more than they love humans, they kiss them on the mouth, that is how life is, right? But I felt like I always will have some sort of resentment of Michael Vick never really being able to live down those, you know, dog fighting charges, and like me thinking that because he's a good person, we should let that go, but then like me thinking Ben Roethlisberger is a terrible, terrible person, right? And continuously harping on the fact that he skated on multiple sexual assault charges, right? And, like, that'll be something that, like, I won't ever let go, right? And so maybe it's because I'm a woman, and so I, like, kind of hype these things up from, like, a villainous standpoint. I just have to, like, really acknowledge that. But, you know, I find it interesting when I decide, I definitely have to admit that I pick and choose when I go more ham, you know, than other times. Because, like, for example, I think Kobe Bryant's a bitch. I think he was a bitch. I think he is a bitch. I think he'll always be a bitch. That shit ain't ever changing, right? Can't stand the person. Great basketball player, blah, 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 blah. Lakers fans, don't email me. Can't stand the person, right? Fro, no fro, I can't, right? I wish he would retire and take his big ass check with him. But, you know, I also, when I get into these rants about how I think he's overrated, how people don't want to admit he's declined, how, you know, fine, he's lasted a long amount of time, but it is what it is, right? I definitely also, like, bring up his criminal proceedings, right? And it's weird because his proceedings in the general scope of things aren't necessarily nearly as bad as other folks, right? So it's not like, I mean, I know he had a rape charge, but, you know, the allegations... Like, the way he had to, like, dispel himself from them, which was like, yeah, Vanessa, I cheated on you a million times. Sorry, but I didn't actually rape the girl. Like, I've always, like, been really big on bringing that up, which, like, he didn't actually do it from all we know, right? I mean, only God will know or whatever, only God will judge. But I definitely bring it up as part of him being a terrible human, right? But, like, when it comes to Michael Vick, when people go big on Michael Vick, and even, to some extent, Chris Brown, right? Which, like, I think Chris Brown...
Which I think, mm-hmm. like I said, like, but I think the economy is, like, if you feel like they was at least punished for it, because it's like, at the end of the day, it was like, at least he went to jail. Like, right. At least he was punished. Mm-hmm. I think, they're like, yeah, so there's, like, the resentment comes when you feel like, not only did they did it, but they just kind of skated by on it.
or just like the concept of just like general denial, right? Or like absolution. Yeah. Like with Floyd Mayweather, I don't know what this motherfucker is paying Stephen A. in. I don't know, because it's not in a hairline, right? Stephen A.'s hairline's been moving back and back every year. Maybe he's like re-upping his thesauruses every year. I don't know,
right? Yeah, it's like Stephen A.'s like 50, but like he still acts like a bitter, like, high school boy that no girls like. Like, anytime it comes to like women, he always has like this kind of weird, well, I don't really care type of attitude towards it.
Right, right.
It's like,
right.
No matter how many times he gets caught with his foot in his mouth, he just keeps doing it.
I think he's just trying to get fired at this point. Maybe Floyd is giving him that money under the table. I don't know. Because, like, Stephen A., for folks who don't know, Stephen A. is a sports commentator on ESPN. He most frequently is on the show First Take, which airs daily, but he shows up, of course, in other programming. You know, and he's had a long history and career at ESPN, but in the past few years, he's become more and more of a shill as time comes by. And when it comes to women's issues, he's consistently putting his foot in his mouth, right? And he has a female correspondent on the show that he constantly uses as like a battering ram to like leap off of his opinions. So he was most recently kind of lambasted for just talking about Floyd and how we're basically like overplaying, you know, the Floyd accusations, and how, well, it makes sense that, you know, women would hype on these Floyd accusations that are apparently unproven, even though Floyd has been like convicted of some charges before, right? And, you know, because we're women and not really boxing fans, but as boxing fans, you learn to, like, overlook it and whatever the case may be. And I don't understand what presumes this person, Stephen A., to do this. But he, you know what he sounds like? He sounds like, you know, there's always that one person on the internet or that one person at the barbershop who says some shit like, well, my cousin Pookie, I know him, like, a lot, right? He would never lay his hands on a woman. But one day, he was arguing with this chick in the house, and she was wilding, and he had to restrain her. And then she went to the police, and next thing you know, he was doing 5 years. A Pookie ain't doing nothing, but Pookie got arrested, and that's the way that life is. And it's, like, absolutely preposterous, because then you have to sit there and tell the person, like, hey, you've actually never seen a domestic violence case go end to end. I've actually had to follow domestic violence cases from the start to the end. Never works the way that Pookie claims it works, right? There's no, like, planting bruises, and then you go to the cops, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna arrest the nigga. That's never how it works. It's, like, a six-month-long process, at minimum, in which the burden is, like, really on the victim to really prove this nigga's beating my ass consistently, and I need you guys to help me or I might die, right? So, like, all these stories that people like to leverage to manufacture, like, oh my god, you know, I got caught and, you know, I got, you know, hemmed up in the situation. It's almost always fabricated. And that's what Stephen A. sounds like whenever he gets to these discussions. Like, women need to understand what they may do to provoke these situations, or women need to wait and get all the evidence before, like, running into judgment. Domestic violence is not good no matter who hits who. It's like, but, yo, that's not even what we're talking about, right? What we're talking about is Floyd and Floyd beating multiple former partners of his asses and publicly lambasting them on public media and lying about it consistently, and us letting it go because he's a big enough star that we want to see him fight, right?
Yeah, and it's like, at this, and then the other thing I was going to say is what separates it is how much you actually care. And then there's some, this, like, I could kind of get if you're like a super serious ultra boxing fan, but it's like, most Americans aren't. So, like, you don't care that much. So why are you really defending them? Like, I could even, it's not even like, oh, well, R. Kelly's a piece of shit, but, like, Ignition remix still goes.
Right. It's just, yeah, that's my thing with R. Kelly. Like, just to touch on it really quickly, you know, R. Kelly, I mean, he's a molesty as molester. And it's disgusting, and he should be locked under the jail. And as the years pass by, right, more and more stories come up of how he's exploited young women and has just really been able to get away with it while being illiterate the entire time. That's an aside, but just, you know. And while I definitely think he's a horrible person, I don't go out of my way to support his music, and I'm almost at some points flabbergasted by his ability to troll us. Like, I don't know if you remember when he did that song with Lady Gaga called Do What You Want With My Body.
Oh, yeah, and they had, they used to do that rapey-ass performance. It was just, or even just, that whole album of, Black Panther, they were like, I just couldn't bring myself to, I just couldn't.
And so it's like, I don't bring myself to support it, right? I don't buy, I don't, give him any money, any royalty checks or whatever. That said, if I'm at a lounge, right, because I don't really go to the club anymore because my ass is too old to pay money to stand around.
You ain't gonna lie to the people, but go on.
I do lounges. Lounges are for the classy, right? I mean, I'm not the classy one at the lounge, but it is for the classy. But, when I am out, if, Ignition Remix comes on, I'm not, running off the floor, right? I'm not gonna be no, rape song, run, right? And am I supposed to feel guilty for them at that point, or am I just supposed to chill and be it is what it is, it's an enjoyable song, but he's a terrible person and I don't think he deserves any money and I don't think he deserves any kind of highlighting or profiling, so I don't know, I don't think there's any real answer for that, when it comes to
my simplified answer is if I feel you at least got punished, okay, I could kind of reevaluate.
Right.
But fuck Kobe.
Fuck Kobe forever, right? Because he's a bitch. That's never changing, right? And also just some sort of remorse, right? For better or worse, a lot of the stars that don't get discussed as much anymore for their actions seem to have at least exhibited some sort of remorse, right? Michael Vick has been very clear on just wanting to move past it and, being more involved in his community and so on and so forth. Even Mike Tyson has kind of, done a full,
Well, I mean, that just, transcends logic. white people love those of Mike Tyson.
Right.
It's so weird.
And it was, he was so vilified in his heyday and, he went to jail for rape and now he's, enlightened, Buddhist. Yeah.
They took, two draft picks to get him in the racial draft. I don't... the Mike Tyson thing will always befuddle me.
Right. They got Mike Tyson and we got, I guess, Iggy Azalea. I feel like we need to revisit our black people, our GM. But here we are. But yeah, I mean, Mike Tyson, for better or worse, has clearly tried to show some remorse about where he is or what he's done. To the marginalization of Robin Givens' career, but that's a whole different story, And I think with the Floyds of the world, which, yes, I get it, it's part of his brand to be unapologetic and insufferable, right? I don't think it should really be part of anyone's brand to be an abuser, right? But, to kind of close this out real quick, are you going to watch the fight, though?
I mean, I'll go to, a fart fight party if they, depends on what, the drinks be like, but, I'm not really...
Right.
And again, there's that, it's, I feel like it's kind of a troll because it's, there's always, that hope that he can lose.
Right.
And he's almost, 36, 37, he can lose.
Right.
And, you just hold on to that hope.
And I think this is more than likely going to be his last fight, right? I don't think there's anybody who's going to, really be a big contender that he'll want to fight ever again. Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat as you. I think that if there's a fight party that I'll want to go to that convinces me to get off my couch and I only have to bring a bottle or something, I'm fine. I'm definitely not paying $99.95 to watch on a premium channel. I don't know what kind of rich people money they think I got. I already paid too much for DVR. I'm not coming up off that. Nah. Maybe if I'm on my couch, I'll see if I can find some kind of fugazi ass streaming link. Even though I hate streaming on any kind of sporting event.
It's the worst thing ever. It's just it's you just dive deep into the nether regions of spam just to try to watch.
And no matter how many pop-up blockers you have, right? They still come up. I'll download every pop-up blocker known to man. Somehow there'll be some porn in the corner, right? Some stuff will come that have to close every 10 seconds. Stuff will be way delayed. The buffer link will crash. You gotta pick link 4 now. And I'm like, I pay way too much for my TV to just have to struggle through this. And it's not even in HD, right? And then it's 30 seconds behind the timeline. So you're kind of stuck there. You don't really know what to do because people are oh shit! And you're waiting for the oh shit moment. moment.
It's just, like yeah, like the round's not even over. Everybody else is already talking. Like, it's like, all
right. Right. I can't. But, you know, I'll probably still find a way to watch it. Or maybe I'll just watch on the timeline, you know. And
go, Craig.
A little chum for chum, eh? All right. Now to transition off of the big fish, we'll go into what we have called our lowbrow highlight section. Sticking with the theme of sports, in a fashion, this past weekend was the White House Correspondents' Dinner, or what people like to affectionately call Nerd Prom. I don't know why they think that's a cute title. I think if you're calling things prom after the age of 18, that's kind of lame. But here we are, anyways. Essentially, in D.C., biggest people in media, as well as the biggest people in government, kind of come together to drink a lot and just prop themselves up and pat themselves on the back and pay comedians to write jokes for them, right? So, you know, the highlight was Obama doing his speech and bringing out, you know, like angry Obama, his angry alter ego called Luther. And that was, you know, that got a lot of attention and, you know, likes from the crowd or whatever. However, I want to point out an underrated moment that happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And I feel like this isn't being discussed enough, and we need to bring our attention to it. Which
what
is
was that?
That Russell Wilson went to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. But not only did Russell Wilson, our favorite curly-cued friend from Virginia, go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner with his white person barbershop haircut, he brought none other than Ciara as his date. Mm-hmm. I'm so lost. Like, I don't even know what happened. I don't even think they're close to the same age, right? I think Russell is like 24, 25 now. Because I know he's been in the league a couple years, but I think he left at like 19. So, you know, I think he's like 24-ish. And Sierra's like in her 30s, I want to say. 30 with the baby on the way. I don't know. But either way, I don't know how this happened. I don't know in what world Russell Wilson and Ciara have crossed paths, but I am, like, highly entertained, right? This is just amazing. Mostly because, like, we have to evaluate Russell's trajectory from, like, 3-4 years ago to now, right? 3 years ago, he's married to a Becky, right? Joined, you know, Seattle, started his career, right? First season, knocks out the park, makes it deep into the playoffs, right? Everybody underrates him. Everyone's talking Kaepernick. Everyone's talking Andrew Luck. Everyone's talking everybody else but him. Still makes it deep into the playoff season, right? Second season, decides to divorce his chick, right?
Before he got paid.
Before he gets paid. Before he negotiates that contract. So she's not getting anything, right? Poor Becky's in the corner, right? Decides to up his hairline, up his swag a bit, right? Starts hanging out with the defensive line. Buddies up with everyone else, is like, you know, cool with Marshawn Lynch and everything, upping his like street cred.
Oh, grows a beard.
Right. And then starts dating a chick off Instagram, right? Increases his black card, like just a little bit, right? Got decreased a little bit, like his limit on his black card got decreased, his credit balance, because he was on a commercial where he was at the white barbershop. And like, I don't know any black man that goes to the white barbershop for a lineup. But it's okay. White Instagram model. Almost there. Now, he's out here taking Ciara to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Presumably just because he can, right? Because I'm assuming, like, I've decided to speculate here wildly, but I'm going to go with it, you know. I'm assuming he's just crushed on Ciara Rafar. He remembers watching that ride video in his college dorm 6 years ago. And now that he has a chance to reach out to her, because what else is Ciara doing in her life? Because apparently she has a tour for, like, one song, right? He invites her to go to the dinner, and she happily obliges and leaves the baby with Nadavius. Is it Nadavius or Nadavius? Either way, that man Future's name is not Future, and it makes me laugh.
Future Vandross.
And so, here we are. Now, my first question is, who upgraded their life more with that date? Was it... did Russell come out higher or Ciara come out higher?
No, it's definitely Ciara, because she was like really getting close to being like Black Jennifer Aniston.
Oh my God.
Like, I mean, it was like what? Bow Wow 50,
right.
Amari, Dream.
Getting curved left and right, man. Future, even though, listen, she set herself up with that Future situation. I'm sorry. Like, how does that happen? Like, you see, like, I think they met, he had a kid on the way, or just had a kid. Like, why are you even dealing with it? And she thought that she was going to be special. And the thing is that Future is a secret Haitian, right? So, I knew how that was going to work out. Apparently, she didn't. She learned her lesson the hard way. But hopefully, she'll do better moving forward. However, you know, Russell isn't really known for his loyalty at this point, right? Look at poor Becky in the corner. I'm sure Becky's, like, subtweeting right now.
Like, right now he's living, like, the reverse Kanye lyric. Like, he got on and, like, let the white girls for a black one.
Right! It's like, now he can exhibit his true, like, Negro dreams, you know? And that brings me to my second question. Who's the dream person you would want to bring to any kind of, like, dinner? Like, let's say you blew up for whatever reason. You had access to something. And you were able to pick anyone, like, from, like, company all together. Like, who would you want to bring as, like, your celebrity? I don't know if we could say celebrity, because is Ciara really a celebrity in 2015? But you get my point. Who would you bring as, like, a public figure anywhere?
I feel like if I took Lupita anywhere, it would be, like, relationship goals for, like, the next 20 years. Dark skin love, you know?
Right, right. And then you just get immediate brownie points for just, like, being the one to pick Lupita, right? Instead of, like, saying how Lupita is allegedly unattractive or whatever, as, like, all the Ashies love to say, right? So it's really just thinking in the long term with that choice. I respect it, you know? I think, personally, I would pick Joe Biden. Not because I'm sexually attracted to Joe Biden anyway. Not really my stilo and with regards to, like, white men who can get it. But I feel like Joe Biden would be a fantastic time. I feel like we'd be cracking up the whole time. I feel like Joe Biden has, like, the air of somebody who drinks a lot, but he doesn't actually drink, which is what I find really interesting. I actually do drink a lot. I probably shouldn't admit that out loud, but it is what it is. Haven't gotten past that hump yet. And I think that, you know, it would just be a grand time. You're just sitting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, talking shit about everybody in the room, side-eyeing everyone, whenever anybody in the GOP got up to talk, just, like, throwing things at them in the corner. I'd get drunk. And he has, like, Secret Service cab ride. So, like, you know, I'd have a town car home. It sounds like a great night, right? And then I could, like, blog about it. It'd be, like,
the only Uber in D.C. that actually works.
Right! He'd have to pick me up. And I think, I have a feeling that Secret Service people could run red lights. So it'd be, like, mad quick just to take myself home and chill, and then I could blog about it for everyone to see, right? Because apparently it's not real unless you put it on social media, so. But yeah, it would be that couple. I don't know. I'm keeping an eye on them. I'm deciding to add it to my Google Alerts. Russell Wilson and Ciara.
Ciara needs a win.
Ciara does need a win because her music career is not winning. I really, to this date, don't understand why she didn't just leave the music alone and go into modeling. At this point, she could just model the clothes and live instead of, like, giving us the same Matrix move that she's given since, like, 2006. Like, I don't have time for it.
It's like the same kind of whispery singing that you can't actually do live. It's just...
Right. It's like, we thought you could be the next Janet. You weren't. We've given up. We've moved on. It's okay. And
now there's, like, 16 Blasians that does the same thing she does.
Yo! When did Blasians... I feel like we had a break from Blasians post A. Marie, right? Like, I think, like, post 2008, we just, like, had, like, a plateau, and then it was, like, now they're just coming up out the woodwork, and you're, like, where is this happening from? Why is California sprouting them like weeds? And it's just, like, now you got Jhené Aiko talking about eating the booty like groceries, which I still don't understand.
Like, I still don't understand how that line's not centered in music. Like, every time I hear that song, like, I just picture, like, some 6-year-old girl saying that and getting, like, popped in the mouth.
If I said that in front of my mom, I don't think she would get it. I feel like she would think of, like, literally eating a butt, not, like,
like, I feel like they're going to go back to that because, like, you know, like, if you watch, like, 90s videos now, there's, like, so much stuff they let slide and then they kind of caught on to what it meant.
Right. Like, man, Next Too Close was my jam, right? And, like, that whole song is just straight up flagrant. I don't understand how it was on the radio. It's definitely kind of rapey, but...
or like Cameron video, like, I forget what song it was, but it was like the whole verse was just bleeped, so he was just like jamming to nothing like Pootie Tang.
I mean, he has songs like Suck It or Not. Like, I mean, I don't even understand how he got mainstream hits at some point, but I'm not mad at it. Or even just like Hey Ma, which is like the official Dipset song that like white people love too. Like, that's like the one that like bridges the racial divide. And like, even that one, there's like definitely a whole storyline about getting dope on like the highway. And it just is what it is. Nobody ever says anything. Speaking of couples, though, to pivot off to the next topic really quickly, is Mendeecees and Yandy announced recently that they are getting married, as opposed to Yandy. Well, I think Yandy already took his last name. I think she is Yandy Harris, but I guess they're supposed to make it like legal in this live extravaganza coming on Memorial Day weekend, which I have to say is like the blackest thing ever to have like a party Memorial Day weekend. However, it's also come out that the other legal proceeding that Mendeecees has to deal with is the fact that he had to file guilty to running these streets with these drugs. And because he's in love with the Coco, he is due for sentencing in August. So I guess this live wedding special is going to be a wedding special / going away party. I want to, so like, yeah, go ahead.
So like, this whole thing is just to like get like conjugal visits. So I guess like that whole it ain't Ralph the wedding doesn't really count.
Right. I don't know what to say. Like, I want to feel bad for Yandy. But Yandy's like the chick that went to college and, like, just still kept hanging around with the local dudes, right? Like, didn't know how to leave the neighborhood. It's like, yo, you gotta, like, graduate above these dope boys, girl. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, you seem to have some sense. And then she reminds you of, like, how utterly basic she is. It's like, Mendeecees, optional, is going to jail for an indeterminate amount of time because he thought he was Big Meech now, right? And, like, what are you gonna do? Raise little Mendeecees? And the other kids, and work with like little Mendeecees' terrifying mother-in-law, and figure out a cohabitation situation. Like, this just sounds like too much for her to be dealing with in like her Bronx studio. Yeah,
but it's like, but like to your point, like that sounds like it's like the college girl who dates the hood nigga, but she's like 30 something now.
Right. Like, at some point you gotta give it up. I don't know. I feel like this makes less sense than like how she sets up the closures on her weave. So like, I don't really know what to say. But what I can say is that I follow Mendeecees on Instagram because I'm a bird like that. And they've actually made no comment of this whole situation. He's just still hosting, still doing parties, still out there, even though I've read on the internet, I don't think it was on TMZ, but some website, that he has to forfeit all of his Love and Hip Hop checks. So why is he still hosting shit? You gotta forfeit the shit to the government anyways, right? I don't know. But either way, wish him the best of luck. Prison system isn't positive for anyone, but like, maybe he shouldn't have just been running up and down the I-91 or I-95 with baking soda in his car. I have no idea. A little chomp and chomp, eh? Speaking of Love and Hip Hop, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta got our second episode. We're coming to a close in this episode, so let's just like quickly run through the highlights of what happened in episode 2. First of all, I just want to say we got the return of Jocelyn Hernandez, aka Shanelica Bellencourt. Took her off timeout. Excited, because a lot of these chicks just tire me. I don't know why. You know what it is? I think that it's because Jocelyn's actually like 26. And every other chick on the show was like 40. So like, yeah. While Jocelyn is crazy and I need her to get her life together, like, what is everyone else's excuse? Like, what's Mimi's excuse for going to meet a shifty dude in the middle of the night at a park? Like, and deciding that was a good idea, right? Like, I don't even know what to say to them at this point. So I just, you know.
And like, right, and then like, the whole thing with like CBJ, like, why did he treat a 30-day bid like it was, like, he was, like, he made it seem like he was Mendeecees going away forever. And it's like, right. Like, I'm, like, watching the episode, and I'm just looking, I'm like, I know a month has gone by without him seeing this kid. Like,
right! And he has, like, the thing is that, that's not his only kid. He's got, like, 70 million others, right? And he keeps, like, acting like, it's like, well, this one chick can't let it go. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm like, but wait, are you paying her child support, though? Like, it's a very simple question.
Like, yeah, yo, she's still trying to eat off me. Like, yeah, that's how the law works.
And they're acting, like, so tragic and, like, brokenhearted. I'm like, last time I checked, you have better phone privileges at rehab than you do in jail. So I don't really get what the problem, like, I'm so lost to what the problem is. And I'm also really lost at Mimi allegedly knowing Stevie J for 15 years and not knowing that Stevie J has a coke problem. Like, what do you mean? Well, I also say that I don't believe that Mimi did not engage in said problem with him at different times in her life. But it's like a personal conspiracy theory. I have no basis to prove that besides her, like, raspy voice. So it is what it is. But I don't believe the dumbfoundedness. I don't believe the dramatics around it. It's, like, so ridiculous. Like, take care of your kids. I don't understand this, like, sad narrative that's coming out of not taking care of your kids and your family. It's really, really, really ridiculous. But, like, I mean, it's, like, every time you think that you can, like, look at one dude and be like, he's the worst dude ever, there's always somebody else that, like, comes and, like, raises or, I guess, lowers the bar, right? Which, like, we have with Kirk, right? Kirk? Oh, yeah,
whatever. His two-bedroom apartment office.
Oh, my God. Kirk is, like, the sole reason why the acting on this show has gotten out of control. Because we have seen Kirk go from a hot tub threesome to a bar, you know, sports bar nanny.
Yeah, like, I felt like the script was, like, for a more attractive dude.
And now he's just picking up a random artist off the street who's wild flagrant, right? She comes up extra from jump, right?
And she, like, who gets a 5-album deal?
And can't it's sing? 2015. There's no such thing. Like,
and no one, like it's not Drake a thing. Didn't even get a 5-album deal.
Like, right. And it's like, and she's just being really high and mighty about it. But the reason why I know it's fake is Kirk is still alive in 2015. That mofo has his at name on a jean jacket. But he is still alive in 2015 and has the nerve to try to convince us he has $3,500 a month to rent a place in Atlanta. I wouldn't pay $3,500 a month to rent a place in New York City, much less Atlanta, right? $3,500 a month in Atlanta. You better have somebody on hand to eat the booty like groceries 24/7. Like, I don't understand. Like, you can rent. I've had friends who have lived there. Aggie, rest in peace, Aggie. For a little look of her. Aggie lived in Atlanta for several years, and she definitely wasn't paying anywhere close to $3,500 in rent. I've had friends who lived there for $500 a month. It's complete. I know Buckhead is an up-and-coming area, but I watch HGTV. I watch Property Versions. You can buy houses for $100,000. So what the hell is Kirk doing? Especially since when's the last time Rashida had a hit? Like, I don't. It's, like, so distressing to me because I'm just like, how is Kirk still alive? When is Rashida going to get the snapped crossover she deserves? Because at this point, I don't want to hear anything about their story. I don't want to hear Kirk cheating on Rashida anymore. Yeah, like, Rashida's not going to fight him.
Like, I just feel like the whole season is just kind of a repeat of last season. It's like, okay, Mimi's still dealing with the sex tape. She still finds new and innovative ways to talk to Stevie.
Damn. Right, why are you business partners with somebody who you claim has treated you like shit? Oh my gosh.
Then she promised to speak to Jocelyn. It's like, no, there's no reason for that. Like, that's just bad writing, Mona.
Right. Like, one aside that I have to think about that whole Rashida scenario, though, is that we officially have the new leading contender for the next James Bond, and that is definitely Carly Red. Carly Red tore the fuck up out of that house, yo. Like, she was like, dudes high shit in their shoes every time. I think the chicks don't check sneakers, right? And I was like, in my head, like, I'm not a snooper. I've never snooped a dude. But now, low-key, I'm like, yo, should I be checking dude sneakers if I ever want to find something out? Tristan, do you high shit in your sneakers? Is that where you keep stuff on the down low?
No, I do. I never, you know, like, I've always kind of been hip to, like, the CSI games. Like, there'll be, like, times, like, I'll be cleaning my apartment, and it's like, there'll be, like, an earring on the windowsill. Like, really?
Man, listen, why are you doing so much dog shit? The chicks are out here snooping at your cereal boxes, Tristan. Get your life together.
I try.
But two last relationships I want to quickly jump on before we close out this section. One is the story of Khadijah and Young Jock. Okay.
So I forgot about that.
I have to say that I think Young Jock is a really entertaining character, right? I don't know why I find him endearing, even though he's clearly a fuck nigga. Like, I don't know. He's just, something about him screams amicable. Maybe it's his distended nose. I have no idea. But, like, either way, I find him entertaining. I also find Khadijah equally entertaining, mostly because she's one of those hoes that, and I say ho in the most positive sense of the word.
No, you don't.
I'm trying to be a better me in 2015, Tristan. Let me do that. But, there's some of those chicks that's all like, I'm not like these other chicks. I got my own money. I don't need a man to sponsor me because I'm so cool and I'm so laid back that I'll buy you shit because I'm so cool. Completely forgetting how she got this mofo in the first place by being the side chick to while he was dating someone else, right? And thinking that she's, like, really cool and cool. What part of the game is that, yo? Like,
I mean, like, she started at the fries, now she's in management. Like, that's just kind of...
I'm just so confused. I'm like, yo, and now she's running up on his baby mama's house and trying to fight her, and he's not even standing up for her. He's going over trying to smash anyways. I'm sorry. Let this be a lesson for all these chicks who really want to claim that they're so different because I'm cool with watching football on Sundays, I drink brown liquor, or I whatever, or I don't mind. Whenever my man wants to have sex, I'm down to have sex. Whatever stupid-ass excuse you think makes you exceptional does not make you fucking exceptional. And if you're just doing it because you think you're going to get a man to want you more, that mofo's going to still treat you like shit if he's a nigga. Like, that's all that it is. You know what I mean?
It's like that. It's like the aunties on Twitter who just act... Like, they act, like, so low maintenance, and it's just, like, if all of this is true, like, why hasn't it worked?
Right? It's like, why are you still single, bitch? Nobody's got a ring on you.
It's like, you just have, it's kind of like, it's like when you're playing Fights is Right, and, like, you bid, like, a dollar more. Like, that's kind of, like, what they're all doing. Like, well, I don't care if he does this, and I don't care if he does that, and, like, I'm good with going to Applebee's on the anniversary, like.
It's like, no, I'm sorry, I'm not, and I'm not going to feel bad about not being like that. Because honestly, you're doing all this extra shit, and all you're going to be left with is an absent dick and a paltry-ass checking account. And that's on you. That's not going to be my life. I'm not saying I haven't done dumb stuff in defense of a man. For example, as has been brought up to my attention a time or two, may or may not have entered a music video once because I was in love with the dude. And, you know... decided to let it shine, so there may be, if you ever search someone, you might see my lovely face within said video.
That top down, window my Caesar.
That was a different life. But anyways, you know, we've all done stupid stuff to try to prove that we're different and how cool we are with things, but like, yo, there's some stuff that's just straight up egregious, and I don't have any sympathy for people who've done that, right? So... I'm looking forward to her takedown. It looks like she's going to end up pregnant, so I don't look forward to watching her end up being pregnant again by somebody who has, like, a whole starting lineup of kids. But, you know,
where's this money coming from? Like, Young Jock doesn't even pretend to rap anymore.
Right! I think the last song he had was It's Going Down, or is that the only song he had?
I think that was, yeah, like, I think it was, like, a one-hit wonder.
Right.
And, yeah, that was 10 years ago, like... I just remember, like, that whole summer, like, we just drunk Patron because we thought it was so cool.
Oh,
it's like, I can't stand it now. Like, that's how bad it has gotten.
Right. Ugh, Patron. I've definitely had unfortunate nights off of tequila shots. Tequila is not my friend. Working on that.
It's the devil's nectar.
Right. And you always know with tequila because you always take, like, that one last shot. And the second you take it, you're like, oh, that was the one. But then it's like it's too late, right?
Like, you just take, like, especially if you take it sitting down, you just know, like, the second I stand up, like,
like, how do I counteract this? How do I make it stop? You
like
can't.
You, like, you sit down and try to eat first, and it's like, you stand up, and it's just like, oh, it's about to hit me.
Right. It's like, it's too late. We hardly knew ye. Oh, man. And the last thing I wanted to talk about, and I wanted to give this the most attention, this is definitely last, but certainly not least. And I actually have to clap for emphasis, because this is maybe the blackest shit I've ever seen in my life, right? Or let me not say the blackest shit, the hoodest shit I've ever seen in my life, which is Mama D and her ex-husband.
Like, someone married her.
What? Someone married her. That's the first thing, right? Two, let's just examine really briefly their relationship, right? Mama D marries this dude named Ernest. What is it about black men over 50 named Ernest, yo? Anyway, that's just a question I generally have, right?
Yeah, I think they just come out like 47 years old. Like, never meet any young Ernest.
Like, he was born with a Bluetooth in his ear, right? Like, there is no other option, right? You know he wears that velour sweatsuit everywhere. But, so, she's married to a dude named Ernest, right? They loved each other, I guess. And she said, Ernest didn't always do right by me. Which, by my translation, means he beat her ass on occasion, right? I'm just making leaps here, so I'm not going to speak specifically, because I don't know. But that's what I assumed, right? Also, you know, Mama D was apparently running chicks and drugs on the side. So, you know, I guess the cost of doing right might be relative in this relationship, right? But anyways, they had some fights, used to break up, get back together, but she sincerely loved Ernest, right? However, one day, Ernest stole from Scrappy, right? What I believe was stolen, though, was, please correct me if I'm wrong, Tristan, ribs, right? I believe that was what was stolen. I don't think I'm being, like, inflammatory here, right? Ribs were stolen. And so, Mama D got in her feelings and got real petty and called the cops. And by her statement, she just wouldn't know that he would have drugs on him at the time. Which, by the way, is just further reinforced that dating in Atlanta sounds tragic as hell, right? Anyways, he has apparently a whole storefront of drugs on him, because he gets 7 years, right? And this is when Mama D chooses to confess that she's been behind the jail a few times herself, has seen, you know, a couple days here and there, familiar with the prison industrial complex. But now he's out, and apparently all is forgiven, and he's trying to win her back. Nigga, what? Like, this is what I'm most excited for this season. I'm sorry, this is, like, for me, the immediate standout of what I want to follow from inception to the conclusion of this
relationship.
This
could be like the spinoff.
Like, I don't care about Mimi's sex tape. I don't care about Jocelyn's drugs. I don't care about Stevie J's kid. Shout out to Eva, who's really, really cute. But, like, you know, I don't really care about a kid in the greater narrative of the story. What I care about is this cat-daddy-ass relationship and how it's going to play out, right? I don't know. I just feel like this is, like, the part of my that really speaks to my spirit. Like, the part of me that used to pick up, like, hood literature on 125th Street in Lenox and pay $7 and just read about the adventures of Shaniqua and her drug dealer, Taekwon, right? Like, this is really what I signed up for this show for. And I'm just really into it. You know, like Mama D says, she deserves. And she deserves some love in her life, even if it's from a former ex-felon who's to steal ribs from her son. So, I'm in.
Old love.
Like, you know, they're gonna, like, step off into this, like, sunset in, like, all white and try to recreate, you know, Tina Knowles' wedding.
they're like the, you know, like the old couple at the cookout that drinks too much and starts fighting, and everybody just kind of rolls their eyes at them.
Right. Everyone's like, Mama D comes in, hide the henny, but, you know, you can't really do it because she brought her own flask, so it's already too late, right? Oh, man. I'm in. This is the hook. At first, I thought they were just being too tired with these storylines, but this is what's really going to get me in this season. A little chump and chum, eh? Now we're going to close out with Tristan bringing you a gem from On the Timeline. Tristan, why don't you take it away?
All right, and this one comes from @sturdyshow. It's He says, "We tweet if somebody got in your car, hooked up your aux celery cord to their phone and started playing trash."
That might be my life.
All no, aux, aux, O-X, celery.
Oh, wait! Wait! Oh my god, I didn't realize that. Oh my god. Man. No child left behind. Education is your friend. Please spell check your tweets before you put them. And this is a lesson.
I mean, those are two words. You can't beat it.
All right, guys. That brings our podcast to a close. Again, thank you for listening to Chum Podcast. You can listen to us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podomatic, and soon we'll be up on iTunes. Feel free to email us at chumpodcast@gmail.com with any feedback. And we'll see you next week. Bye.